In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says this, "Wherefore, or whereby, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And then the scripture that we read this morning from 2 Corinthians says this, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen." Now, what Paul was saying there is God doesn't make promises like we do sometimes. When God makes it, God doesn't make a promise and then sometimes keep it and sometimes not. It's not yea and nay, to put it in Paul's vernacular. But it's yea and yea. Every time God makes a promise, He keeps it. Every time God promises us that He's going to do something, He does it. And that's why He says it's yea, and then He uses that word amen, which is the same let it be or it will be. What Paul is saying is all the promises of God are true, and God will keep every single one of them. This morning I want to speak on the subject, promises, promises. Promises, promises. Do you ever stop and think how much of our lives revolve around promises? Let me just give you some quick examples. And you might not think that, well, this part of my life revolves around a promise, but if you stop and think about it with me this morning, I think you'll agree that it does. Those of us that are working and have employers, our employment is based on a promise. You see, I don't get paid every day. I don't get paid in advance. When I go to work tomorrow, and I am working because the company promised me that they will pay me for that day of work that I do. And so I'm going to go to work tomorrow and keep the promise that I made to them. I promised I will come to work and work for you. And on Friday of this week, which is payday for me, I hope they keep their promise and deposit an amount of money into my checking account. Otherwise, there's going to be checks bouncing all over Flint. So it's based on a promise. And I would go a step further. Those of you that are retired, your retirement is based on a promise. I mean, the company said, hey, if you work for us for 30 years or more, Reg was telling me he had 51 years and when he retired. I don't know if I'm going to make it that long or not. The promise was, hey, you work for us for this amount of time, and then we promise you a retirement. We promise you a pension, and we promise you medical benefits and health and life insurance and other things that are part of the retirement package. And so it's based on a promise. Most major purchases that you make are based on a promise. If you buy a car, the company says, hey, we promise to let you drive our car if you promise to make the payments. If you buy a house, the mortgage company or whoever is selling you the house says, we promise to let you live in the house if you promise to pay us for the house. And so even where we live is based on a promise. Do you ever stop and think? Every time you go to a library and borrow a book, it's based on a promise. The library says, I promise to let you take this book home and read it if you so desire, if you promise to bring it back. Jessica does some volunteer work at the library, and it's amazing how she comes home and talks about all the people that break their promises as far as bringing library books back to the library on time. Did you ever stop and think, some of you that are young people and may be dating, that a date is a promise? The young man says to the young lady, I promise to come by and get you and take you out for dinner if you promise to be ready when I get there. Now, in my case, I had to wait. That's how I got to know my mother-in-law so well all the time. But I want to hasten to say that it was well worth the wait. a date is a promise. And then, just follow that right along. Your marriage this morning is based on a promise. I mean, we have wedding ceremonies, but the essential part, the most important part, the main part of the wedding ceremony is when the groom and the bride exchange their vows, exchange their promises to one another. Do you take so-and-so to be your lawful and wedded husband and wife, or wife? And do you promise before God and these witnesses that you will love, honor, and cherish him or her? For better, for worse, for in sickness and health, for richer, for poor, until death do us part. And maybe not those exact words, but if you're married this morning, you made a promise to your husband or a promise to your wife, and our marriages are built on promises. The fact that Brother Wendell was here this morning was based on a promise. We talked several weeks ago, and I said, hey, I promise to let you sing if you'll come. And he says, I promise to be there. And I know some of you about 10-2 or so were getting a little worried. I wasn't worried. I knew he was going to be here because it was based on a promise. So much of our life revolves around promises. Now, point number two, promises are only as good as the character of the one making them. I knew Brother Wendell was going to be here this morning, not because he is a character, and he really is if you know him, but because of his character. I mean, I don't know how many times, I haven't kept track, but probably close to 100. He's made a promise, I'll be there and sing, and the only time that he's not been, one or two times he got sick and couldn't come, and he's called and let me know. But he keeps his promise. You know, we used to have character in this country. Used to be in this country that people kept their promises. You used to be able to shake on an agreement and know that the two parties were going to keep the promises and the deal, the contract, whatever you want to say. Used to be able to say, hey, a person's as good as their word. I mean, you could be assured based on a handshake or based on somebody telling you, hey, I'm going to do this, that they were going to do it. But we're in a day where many people have lost their character. There's companies today that aren't keeping their promises as far as retirement. I mean, go talk to the people that work for Enron. It happened a year or so ago, but there were people, if you went to them on Monday and say, hey, you think the company's going to keep their promise about your retirement? They would have said, sure, it's a big company, got lots of money. But by Friday of that week, the company broke their promises, they lost their pensions, they lost their health care, and the company failed to keep their promise. Borrowers don't keep their promises. That's why people repossess cars and repossess houses. As I mentioned, library books are not returned. And husbands and wives, in an increasing rate today, are walking away from the promises they made at the wedding altar and saying, look, I know I promised you that it was going to be till death do us part, but I changed my mind. And there's a whole industry that has grown up. They're called lawyers. That a whole industry that has grown up so that we can make contracts and encourage us to keep our promises and pay the price when we don't. I was flying home last night, and I told somebody this a minute ago, but I was flying home last night, and you know, I left Los Angeles at 10:30, and I said, I'm gonna sleep on the plane. Well, I got on the plane, and there was this mother and her little 4-year-old daughter sitting in the row in front of me. And I said, well, hopefully, you know, it's late at night, she'll be tired and she'll go right to sleep. And that was a false hope. Because as soon as the plane took off, she took her seatbelt off, and she got turned around and she was playing peekaboo with me, you know, over her seat. She was singing. She was playing 120 questions with her mom. And, you know, that would have been nice if it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but this was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And so her mom, I seen her through the seat. She reaches into her purse and she says, Jenny, her name was Jenny. She says, Jenny, if you will be quiet and settle down, I will give you a candy bar. And I looked through the seat and she had a little Butterfingers. And I started to reach around the seat and say, hey, I'll be quiet and settle down. But in a real serious voice, this little girl says, Mama, I promise I will be quiet and settle down. And her mom says, good. Gave her the little candy bar. Well, she was quiet and settled down as long as it took her to eat that candy bar. And then she was back playing 120 questions, bouncing around and singing. She finally went to sleep when the pilot said, would you please fasten your seatbelt? We're about to land. So if I fall asleep this morning, just somebody just say amen real loud and wake me up, would you? But many of us make promises like that little girl. I mean, we might intend to keep it, but we don't in some cases. So promises are only as good as the character of the person making them. Number three, to seal or strengthen a promise, we usually give a token of value. When we make a promise, many, many times, we will give some token that's valuable to sort of seal the promise. For example, when a young man asks a young lady to marry him, and they promise that sometime in the future they will marry one another, what does the young man give the young lady? An engagement ring. That's a token of his promise to her that he is going to marry her. In the same way, at the wedding altar, when a husband and wife make their vows one to another and make their promises one to another, a ring is usually exchanged. That ring is a token, a reminder of the promise. You say, well, where's your wedding ring? Well, it saved my finger when a stove dropped on it. And I have it at home in my drawer. I won't tell you that. But anyhow, but you wear that wedding ring as a reminder of the promise that you made to your husband or to your wife and the promise that they made to you. You promise to buy a house. In fact, when you're making an offer to buy a house, you usually have to send some money with that offer. You know what they call that? Earnest money. What you're saying is, when you make the offer, I earnestly intend, or I seriously intend, to go ahead and buy this house. When you rent an apartment and make a promise to pay the rent, you put a token of value down. You put a security deposit down. So it's commonplace for us, when we make a promise, that we give a token of value to seal that promise. Now, number four, if we break that promise, we usually lose that token of value. If you don't pay your rent, you usually lose your security deposit. If you don't make your house payment, you lose the down payment if you made a down payment on the house. If you break your engagement, you usually, at least when I was growing up, you lost your engagement ring. Although I understand now it's common practice that when a young man breaks an engagement, he asks for his ring back. I was, on Friday, I was talking to a girl that works at our warehouse in California. Last couple months ago when I saw her last, she was all excited, bubbly. She'd just gotten engaged. Showed me a big ring on her finger. So I saw her on Friday and said, well, did you guys set the date yet? And she said, nope, he broke up with me. And then he had the nerve to ask for his ring back. I said, what'd you do? She said, big smile came on her face. She says, I got a sledgehammer and my 400-pound brother, and we spent an hour beating on that ring. And then we swept it up and put it in an envelope, and I gave it back to him. I said, good for you, the jerk. Now, I'm not recommending that you do that, but I thought it was good. He broke a promise that he made to her. So you say, well, that's all nice and interesting, Brother Darrell. What does that have to do with God? Well, here's my message this morning. What we have in God is also built on promises. I read from 2 Peter chapter 1 to start my message. Let me read you the whole verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. How many of you, I want you to raise your hand on this question. How many of you this morning know that you're saved? Just go ahead and lift your hand. You know that you're saved. Okay. No, don't put them down, keep them up. Now, how many of you are happy that you're saved? Raise the other hand. All right. I mean, let's look around. Most of us know we're saved and we're happy that we're saved. Okay, go ahead and put your hands down. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you have your new body? None of us. We still got the old dying body that's falling apart. Amen. That's right. How many of you been to heaven? None of us. Other than Jesus, I only know of three people that been to heaven and came back. Elijah and Moses, when they appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John and Jesus was there. And then Paul said, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body, but I knew a man one time that went to heaven. Heard language I can't repeat. So wonderful. But none of us have been to heaven. How many of you have taken a peek in the Lamb's Book of Life and seen your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I haven't, and you haven't either. And yet, all of us raise our hand, I know that I'm saved. How do I know that I'm saved? Based on the promise that God made to me. I'm based on that promise. Here's what God said. He said, now look, if you'll admit that you're a sinner, and you'll agree that I have the right as God to punish you for that sin, and you see Jesus, my only begotten Son, dying on Calvary to pay for your sins, and you ask Him to be your Savior, then I promise you that I'll give you a new body, I'll give you a home in heaven, you'll be saved. I know I'm saved this morning, not because I've been to heaven and taken a look in the Lamb's Book of Life, not because I've been there and seen heaven, not because I already have a new body. I know I'm saved this morning because I took God up on His promise. There was a time when I said, I know I'm a sinner, I know I deserve hell, and I believe that your Son paid the price and died for my sins, and I ask you, Jesus, to be my Savior. And God made a promise to me that day when I did that. Hey, bud, because you've done that, I promise you heaven's going to be your home. I promise you that I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I promise you, he said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and because you've been saved, I'll doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I want to tell you something this morning. I don't need a contract for that promise. I don't need God to sign some document. I don't need Him to go to a notary public and somebody witness His signature on a document that says, I've been saved and I'm going to heaven. I don't need that because my promise is as good as the character of the one that made it. And I want to tell you about the character of the one that made that promise. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Let me just talk a little bit about the character of the one who made me the promise that if I receive Christ, I get to go to heaven. The Bible says He's a God that cannot lie. He cannot lie. I mean, it's incapable. God is incapable of telling a lie. If He told a lie, He wouldn't be God anymore. And so I have a promise that heaven is mine. I have a promise that salvation is mine. I have a promise of a new body. And I could go on and list other things that come with salvation. But I don't have to worry about if God's going to keep that promise to me, because He's a God that cannot lie and never has and never will. Oh, and by the way, to seal that promise, He's given me a token of value. We read it down in there in our scripture reading in verse 22. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know what the Holy Spirit? I mean, the Holy Spirit does a lot of things, but you know one of the things the Holy Spirit is? He's an engagement ring. He's a wedding band. He's a down payment. He's earnest money, however you want to say it, for the promise that God made to us that heaven will be ours. God says, I'm going to keep this promise someday. I'm going to take you to heaven. Until I do, I'm going to give you a token of my promise. I'm going to seal it. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And every time you begin to doubt that I'm going to keep my promise, the Holy Spirit, just like if you, sometimes if you think, I don't have my wedding ring, it's crushed. But some you might think, I wonder if my wife still loves me. I wonder if my husband still loves me. All you got to do is look down at your finger. That's one purpose of that ring, to remind you of the promise they made. That's what the Holy Spirit is to us. God says, I'm going to give you a home in heaven. I'm going to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I haven't been to heaven. I haven't looked in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I got somebody inside of me who reminds me every second of every day that my God is going to keep his promise. You can't live in this world without promises. We get them from people. We get them from institutions like banks. We get them from the government. We get them from employees. Our life is lived based on promises. Well, why not make your eternal life based on a promise? I mean, you live your life here, the 70 or 80 years you're going to live here, you live it based on promises that other people and other institutions make to you. Why can't you get ready for eternal life by banking on the promise that God has made to us? He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior. That's all you got to do. Call on Him. I'm a sinner. I know I deserve any punishment that you care to give me, God, because that's what sin brings. But thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place to pay for my sins. I call upon Him right now to be my Savior. You do that, God will make you a promise. Give you a home in heaven. Forgive your sin. And it's a promise that He will keep forever. Never change His mind. Never break it. If you're here today and you've never claimed that promise, would you? Would you? I mean, hey, you'll go to a bank and you'll give a bank all your money because they promised to give it back to you. I want to tell you something. God's a lot more trustworthy than a bank. You'll go to work tomorrow and you won't get paid tomorrow night because you'll be basing it on the promise and on payday, somebody's going to pay you. God's a whole lot more faithful than your employer and my employer. Why don't you just claim His promise? Why don't you just claim His promise? Start with the one on salvation. Then there's hundreds of other ones that He invites us to claim as well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being a God that cannot lie. Thank you for being a God that keeps every single one of your promises. Thank you for being a God that's kept the promise of salvation to just about everybody in this room. A moment ago, just about everybody in this room raised their hand, said they know for sure they're saved, and are happy about it. We rejoice in that. Thank you for that assurance that the Holy Spirit gives us, and that reminder that the Holy Spirit gives us every day that we are saved and that we're on our way to heaven. Father, there were a couple that didn't raise their hands. You know who they are. I pray this morning that they could see that they need Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to you but by Him. And so I pray, Father, that you quit trying to work out their own salvation. They come the way the Bible says. They come through Christ. And today, right now, they would ask Him, admit they're a sinner, and ask Jesus to save them. And Father, I do pray for the many Christians that are here. This book is just chock full of promises that you make to us. More than one for every day of the year. More than one for every day of our life. And I pray that we'd be faithful to claim those promises, knowing that they come from a God who cannot lie. Bless the invitation. Again, if there's those here that need to receive Christ, help them to come and we can help them. Those that need to come for baptism, maybe those that need to come for church membership, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to them and they'd be obedient to your leading. Bless the invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray.